Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:09 as we make our way through Tuesday morning, heading toward Thanksgiving Eve. And we thought we'd talk about the Turkey Day race. I used to run this thing every year, and then the knees went out, and I got replacement knees. They say you're not supposed to run, but you can still walk. And this is something that goes on and has been going on for quite some time in City Park every Thanksgiving, and it's amazing how big it is. Benjamin Burke joins us now, Executive Race Director, New Orleans Track Club. How you doing, Ben?
Good, sir. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about this year's Turkey Day race.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, we have a great race lined up this year. One of the things I did do differently with the event is that I partnered up with Hubick's Pies because since 2011, when their fire, unfortunate fire happened, this is the first year since then that they've had the ability to have their beloved favorite, the sweet potato flavor pie. So I ended up partnering up with them. So everybody who participates in the event will finish and get a sweet potato pie.
That's awesome. Tell me about the route.
The route, yeah. So the route will start on Roosevelt Mall right outside of Tag Gormley. It'll head down to Stadium Drive, and then it'll loop around to Dreyfus, head up Lee Long by Noma, hit the traffic circle, head up Henry Thomas, and then go up to Zachary Taylor, then U-turn at the Harrison Traffic Circle, and then go back and finish inside on the 50-yard line on the track in Tag Gormley.
Now, one thing I know, Ben, from running this thing years and years ago for about 10 years is that you can run. It's not meters. It's 5 miles. It can take an hour to do this, but when you enter Tag Gormley Stadium, you feel like you're finishing the marathon in the Olympics. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. We've dressed it up really nice over the past couple of years with all kind of signage and fencing. And, you know, one thing that's really, really cool about this event is that it's super family-oriented. You know, we see so many families, so many walkers out there. One thing I did do this year is that this route, the route has changed over the years, obviously, but for this 5-mile route, I got it USA Track and Field certified. So it is a certified course. So that just adds a little onto the top of this great event already.
What motivated me to do it back in the day when I had my original knees was, you know, you go out there, you get up early, you go out, man, you get some exercise, you feel great, then you get ready to eat a big old Thanksgiving dinner, right?
Yeah. You burn the calories, burn some off before you eat them all day, take them in all day. So that's what it's all about. And especially our beneficiary, Spina Bifida, who's been amazing over these past years. So I just want to give them a shout out as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. You're reading ahead. That's where I was going next, Ben. Tell me about who it benefits and what they do.
Yeah, Spina Bifida of Louisiana, you know, is a volunteer organization group. You know, they support services, equipment, counseling, tutoring. It's a very most common of newborns, and it happens in their, multiple sclerosis and stuff. So yeah, we partnered with them and 1977. So, I could go into the history too of the event.
Yeah, I'm going back to maybe, I guess the 80s when I did it for the first time, I would think.
Yeah. So it's something that a lot of people here in the city and around the country don't realize, that this race is the fifth oldest race in America. only behind, it's right behind the Yonkers Half Marathon in New York. It's 117 years old this year. It was started by Francis Thomas Gormley, Tad Gormley, mm-hmm. which it also finishes inside a stadium. And then in the same year, Tad Gormley also started the third oldest race in the country that's here as well, the Jackson Day Race. It's in the Battle of New Orleans and Chalmette in January. So, you know, those are some cool things that, you know, you can check off your bucket list. Hey, you know, I did the fifth oldest race in the country. So, yeah, it's really special. I'm blessed to have this opportunity to be the race director for this event. And, you know, we're expecting somewhere between 3,400 and 3,500 on Thanksgiving morning.
Tell me about that, if you will, Benjamin. The numbers, like, from years to years where running was really the thing to do, and I don't know if people have gotten away from it or not. How is participation in the race changed from way back in the day to now?
Yeah, so I think COVID definitely hurt. It did. You know, the industry as a whole. You know, but before that, I think yes, people were more adamant about getting out and running. But I tell you what, Tommy, I think it is definitely coming back. I mean, we've seen big spikes around the entire industry, and you know, with people coming out. Getting, you know, COVID's way behind us now. So, you know, this could be, you know, one of our largest years ever in recent.
Yep. I'm sorry. And you don't have to run. You can walk is what I wanted to say. The whole family can go out there and walk if you want and support spina bifida.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Walk. And then not only that, you get, we have, you know, some post-race refreshments. Everybody gets a free bag of Kachava protein or a promo code for it. You know, so we have some cool other things too. But yes, walk, run, skip, jog, come out.
Tell me about the T-shirt.
So the T-shirt, we had it this year. It was based up off the past Olympics that happened. So it's a T-shirt that shows running through Paris because we have, you know, an affiliation, you know, with the French heritage here. So that's kind of the route we took this year. So, you know, we've seen great feedback. It's a purple shirt. So, yeah, you know, make sure you sign up ASAP because, you know, if we sign up on race day, you know, you're not guaranteed a shirt. So try to get that in as early as possible.
How do you do that? How do you sign up?
So you can sign up. You can head over to turkeydayrace.com. You'll find all the information there. We actually have a packet pickup starting at 12 noon today, the last day for packet pickup. It's from 12 to 6 at New Orleans Athletic Club, who owns the event. Their address is 222 North Rampart.
Or you can pick it up the day of the event if you pre-register.
You could, but it's strongly, strongly encouraged to pick it up today because you'd also be able to lock in that shirt, lock in those free stuff that we have, those giveaway items. So it's just encouraged. Yes.
And can you register today and pick it up today?
Correct.
Okay.
You can register on site today. We close registration an hour before race start. So we give a lot of leeway and a lot of options for people to make that last minute decision.
I appreciate your time, I really do, Benjamin. It's a great cause, a great race. What's the record? Do you know for fastest time ever?
I'm not sure. I wish I did. I know. Maybe next year I'll have that for you.
I would guess 22 minutes.
Maybe? Probably so. Yeah, probably
four
probably,
plus.
You know, 5 minutes. Yeah, four, yeah. four. 45, something like that. So, yeah, I'll make sure I get that.
25 minutes, something like that. And then for people that are walking, I'm getting some texts here, people that are walking, at what point do you shut it down?
I mean, we usually a 20-minute mile, 20 minutes a mile. So you got plenty of time. We've never had that issue. So,
all right, my friend, I might see you out there. It sounded like something to get the
8:30
started. You got it. Thank you, Benjamin Burke. Executive Director, Race Director, New Orleans Track Club, the 117th, I think you said, annual Turkey Day Race. And I did it a couple of years. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to go walk 5 miles and get my Thanksgiving Day started. 9:18, we'll come back. We'll talk about holidays and mental health here on WWL. It is currently 9:24. And we spoke yesterday about the etiquette of the holidays and manners and how you react with other people. And today we thought we'd look at it from a mental health standpoint, because sometimes people can suffer with mental health issues. We're concerned about that here, as we always are. We're concerned with that, and also about something that maybe we all can do to affect other people's mental health, whether we mean to do it or not. And for that, we're joined by our good friend, Dr. Judy Ho, a clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of The New Rules of Attachment, Stop Self-Sabotage, all of that. Those books are available either like an audiobook, right, Dr. Judy, or you can get them at Amazon and all that stuff?
Yeah, you can get them like any format. So we got audiobook, we got Kindle, we got hard copy, you name it.
do you read the book or not? On the audiobook.
Do I read my own book?
No, on the audiobook.
Yes. I actually do read my own book on The New Rules of Attachment. I did not get to read my own book on Stop Self-Sabotage. But it's okay. I met the actor who did, and she was really nice. Oh. So I know.
Awesome.
They let me do it for my second book.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Let's talk about, first of all, how you been? How's Luca? How's everybody in the fam?
Luca's great. We just visited with some really, really close friends last night, actually. They were in town from Napa, and was actually my old roommate. This is a funny story, but, you know, this was back when we thought Craigslist was safe. That's how I met my roommate. I mean, turned out to be a real gem, but, you know, I don't think nowadays that's the best way to get a roommate. So, but we met very, very long ago, like 15 years ago.
Say that part again about the roommate.
Oh, I met my roommate, my old roommate, from Craigslist. It was 15 years ago, you know. We thought Craigslist was safe then.
Well, at least you're still alive. That's the main thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And in one piece.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the holidays and why sometimes people suffer with the holidays, and then we'll move from there. Dr. Judy?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think the holidays, it just brings up a lot of different things for different people. It should be this time of family and togetherness and happiness. And I think that in part, that's what makes it hard sometimes, because there's this expectation that is supposed to be this beautiful time of the year, right? And so then when you're not having such a beautiful time, you feel like something's wrong with you. I think that the expectations really do create this feeling that somehow it's not okay if you're suffering from sadness or if you're still fighting with your family, which of course it happens, because family friction occurs oftentimes around the holidays because there's more opportunities to get together. And even if you love your family, there's some old habits die hard and some of the old issues, they can just come up whenever you get together with family. I have a lot of people tell me that when they're with their family, even as adults, you know, a lot of old patterns just come up, you know, any insecurities they had as children, feelings about how their parents treat them and their siblings differently, they all come back, even if it's been 20, 30 or 40 years. And then, you know, once you do have that argument, you feel terrible about it. You feel like you should be making up with them. You look at all these commercials and Hallmark movies, like everything's supposed to be great. And then those expectations come back to haunt you again. So I think that those are some of the reasons why the holidays can be really tough for people.
You know, you mentioned Hallmark movies and expectations. And boy, to me, it seems like sometimes people, you want this to be such a, you know, and because of the marketing involved and everything, and I'm a free market economist, and I'm all for that. But because you're not just, you know, being urged to buy a sweater or this or that or the other thing, it seems like if you get this present for this person, then it's going to be this perfect holiday season. And nothing else in life is perfect. Nothing with your family is perfect. So why should it change during the holiday season? You got to manage those expectations, don't you?
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people have a hard time managing the expectations, because not only because of what happens on media, on social media, but also I think sometimes people are hoping for the best for themselves, which of course makes sense. It's like, well, maybe this year is going to be the year that's all different, you know, and that we're going to finally make up as a family, or, you know, maybe this is going to be the year that I conquer my depression. You know, those are the kinds of thoughts that go through people's heads. I think that holiday expectations are kind of similar to almost New Year expectations, right? You kind of, New Year rolls around, you think this is a great time for a fresh start, and I'm going to make a resolution. it's kind of like that with the holidays too, though. You know, people are like, well, maybe this is going to be the holiday where everything's different. But like you said, it's just like any other time of year. So why do you put that pressure on yourself? I think that sometimes other people do it to you, and maybe they're even well-meaning, but you know, maybe you have that friend or family member who's like, oh, just let this go. It's the holidays. Why are you, you know, mad at that? It's like, well, you're allowed to have your feelings, but it doesn't help when your friends and your family say, hey, don't have them or be nicer to them. It's the holidays. Think about that, right? That induces a lot of guilt and even shame. And shame is a really tough emotion to deal with.
Somebody texted in. I always like to bring the audience in, Dr. Judy. You know that. The Oquinar Jeweler talking text line 504-260-1870. Yeah. Somebody said, do the holidays cause mental health issues, or do they just kind of like reveal them? That's a good question.
That's a good, really good question. I don't know. I mean, you know, at first I thought I had an answer, but I thought about it for a second and I thought, you know what? It's very possible that the holidays can trigger mental health concerns because, again, stress can trigger mental health concerns. The holidays are stressful, right? But also, I think the holidays can also reveal mental health concerns that you're having or make them worse, because not only because of the expectations that we've been talking about, but, you know, there's actually also other environmental factors. For many people, the holidays are living in cold areas. And if you're living in cold areas, you don't get a lot of sun. Those are environmental factors that can also reveal mental health concerns. Some people have seasonal affective disorder or something similar to that, even if it's not the diagnosis. And then I think the other piece, too, is that holidays a lot of times actually bring around more downtime, right? That's kind of how our society is built. I mean, I started getting out-of-office notices yesterday from people. I was emailing them, right? It's like people are starting to take off a little bit more time, maybe a little early. And sometimes when you have too much downtime, you introspect a lot. That could be good to an extent. But then if you're already in a negative spiral, it leaves you a lot of time to be with your thoughts if they're not actually serving you.
You know, one thing I kind of learned about lately, and not intentionally, but, you know, the phrase triggers, and I never did really realize what that meant. But talk about that, if you will, Dr. Judy, about some triggers and how, and when you mentioned things like downward spirals, how you can notice yourself sometimes going down a road, it's like, well, wait, how the hell did I get here? It's kind of like when you're not paying attention when
right.
you're driving and you all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you don't want to be. Talk about that, if you will, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so sorry you're hearing Luca right now demanding his early holiday.
We like Luca. That's fine.
Oh, you can't. Can you hear him now? Oh, thank you. Okay, let's go get your railroad. So basically, I think that trigger, people talk about trigger a lot. And triggers are something that's really personal to the individual. I think some people will say their triggers come from their childhood. And some people don't necessarily recognize that, but when they're in an interaction that reminds them of something that happened in their past, whether it's childhood or even in their adulthood, you know, they have a bigger emotional reaction than you might imagine, right? And that I think is the best way to know, to self-assess if something is a trigger or not, because when you know you had like a bigger than expected reaction to something, like, whoa, that was kind of overblown. I think that's the way you would understand whether or not something had triggered you, because otherwise you would just have a reaction that I think is on the more normative range.
And there are things that bring back, like a trigger, is that something that brings back a memory of something else where it's like, well, wait a minute, because I'll find myself sometimes thinking, well, wait, how the hell did I get to thinking about this? But then, well, this reminded me of that, reminded me of that, reminded me of the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's kind of, as you just discussed, it's like that thought cascade, you know, just kind of keeps going. And it doesn't stop. And then, like I said, when people just have time just to sit there and think about all of the things that have ever happened to them, you know, it isn't actually the healthiest, right? Because it's not actually productive. I think that sometimes people think erroneously that somehow worrying is productive. But most of the times after you worry about something, you don't actually have a game plan or nothing's really changed. And yet we keep doing it. It's kind of our mind's own way of tricking us into thinking we're doing something helpful when actually it's just making it worse. And so, you know, I think that when you do feel like you're triggered by something, that kind of thought loop can happen very, very quickly.
Somebody texted in and said they have a problem with an elderly parent that just can't be happy. And They don't know how to deal with that. They don't want to exclude them from the family gathering, but they want to make sure that, I don't know, it's a tough thing. I don't know what to tell them. But
yeah,
that's why you're here, because you're Dr. Judy Owen. I'm not.
Well, I think part of this, again, the holidays, is that you just feel bad for excluding people. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you're supposed to include everybody. Again, holiday spirit, et cetera. I actually just dealt with this myself yesterday. I am hosting Thanksgiving, and one of my family members was like, hey, should we also invite so-and-so and their children? You know, and I was like, no, I'd really rather keep this the size that it is. And I said, hope you understand. And it's like, let's see them some other time. I feel like people just want to feel like they have to squeeze everything into just one big gathering. And then maybe you feel guilty, but, and I felt a little guilty, but I also felt like, you know what, I want to be able to enjoy, and I'm not going to enjoy it so much if it's so big, or if you feel like there's going to be people there that may or may not actually contribute to it being a great get-together. So I think you just have to really ask yourself, like, is there an alternative? Because what I did was, first I just basically said, no, thank you. And I didn't offer any alternative, and that's perfectly okay. But you can also offer an alternative, which actually I did a few minutes later, which is like, hey, let's make a plan to see them some other time, you know? But why does it have to be Thanksgiving, right? So I would encourage you to be more creative about, well, maybe not the big holiday dinner, but how about, you know, something else the weekend after or the weekend before, and it can just be something else where then you can, manage your expectations and just focus on them.
This is an excellent text. This says, boy, we've got an introspective crowd today, Dr. Judy. This one says, how do I balance my own happiness with the happiness of somebody else?
Yeah, well, sometimes other people's happiness is related to our own. Obviously, we want the people we love to be happy, and sometimes seeing them happy makes us happy too. But I do think that there has to be some separation. Like, I also hear the opposite, right? Like, when somebody they love is upset, then all of a sudden they're having a horrible day. Maybe it's not completely easy to disengage from that feeling, but at the same time, you can't have it so that the boundaries between you and another person is just so mixed up that you can't really tell what's actually driving your happiness. So I do think that it's important to ask yourself, you know, what makes you happy? What do you really value? I love doing values inventory with people. It's because you get so caught up in thinking about what other people want and what people expect of you. And then you forget, you know, what are the things that I value most in this life? And it's really easy to do a values inventory. Just look it up online, type in values list or values card store, and you'll see a list of the most common values. And then just pick your top five. You know, what are the ones that are the most meaningful to me? And ask yourself every day, you know, am I doing something to honor at least some of these top values every single day? And that's how you find your core reason for meaningfulness and happiness. And then from there, of course you should care about other people being happy, but also you have to make sure that you're anchored in your own reasons for happiness first.
I got text here coming in from two different numbers back to back. Sometimes it happens. One of them says, the loneliness is driving me crazy, especially during the holiday season. Another one says, I don't mind being alone, and people won't leave me alone. How do you talk about loneliness, holidays, dealing with it, et cetera?
Yeah, well, you know, I think loneliness is obviously, it's usually associated with it being it's a very negative feeling, right? It's like, I feel lonely, and that's a bad thing. I'm not sure if the first person means that they feel lonely or if they just like being alone sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that it's totally healthy to like being alone sometimes, as long as they don't feel bad about it. And I think that people probably maybe perceive that they're lonely and they're like, hey, I'm not. This is by choice. You know, I like it. Whereas I think if it's true loneliness, then it's actually having negative effects on your mental health and your physical health. And I don't know, Tommy, if you heard about those studies. I think they came out maybe 4 years ago, and it was about how feeling lonely chronically also essentially exposes you to higher risk of chronic health conditions and even early death. Mm-hmm. And then one metaphor they kept using was like, being chronically lonely is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which actually, by the way, is kind of misquoted, but it kind of took off and everybody was talking about it. But the message is actually true that people, you know, when you do feel lonely, it can lead to all these different issues. And so I think if it feels overwhelming for the person who texted about feeling lonely or struggling with that, it's not about having 100 best friends, right? It's about having a couple of really meaningful connections. That's much more important than having a huge crew of people or getting along with every single one of your family members. Like, it is one or two that are your go-to people and you love them. I think that that's enough to get you out of that chronic loneliness. And so, you know, manage your expectations there too. You don't have to make a million best friends tomorrow to cure your own loneliness. This just starts with one or two really important connections.
This is a long text, and you can answer when we come back, and I'll try to wrap it up. Basically, the gist is the grown-up child's not coming into town for the holidays. Mom's okay with it, but dad is very upset. Mom knows that the kid has a life of their own. Again, this is very long and complicated, but what I'm getting from this is that mom's okay with it, or dad's, either way, one of them's okay with it, and the other one is not. We'll talk about, because then you got the problem of parents disagreeing on what the child should do, and you got the child not coming in for the holidays, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about all that with Dr. Judy when we come back. Dr. Judy Ho, our guest, clinical, licensed clinical neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books. Any questions about holiday mental health, 504-260-1870. We'll talk more when we come back. 940, 20 till 10, traffic now, WWL. 9:47, 13 till 10. Talking to our friend, Dr. Judy Ho, licensed clinical neuropsychologist, forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, about holidays and stress and mental health. And somebody texted in, Dr. Judy, apparently mom and dad are upset, grown kids not coming in from out of town for Thanksgiving. One of them's okay with it because the kid's got a life and moved on. The other, not moved on, but, you know, it has their own life going on out of town. The other one's taking it very hard, so now there's a problem between the parents, and this is the whole thing that makes you think, can we just go to March and get all this behind us?
I know. I mean, it's kind of like full circle about how we talked about expectations at the very beginning of this conversation.
Let's just go to March Madness and basketball tournament, please, and put all this foolishness behind us.
Right? Can we? Yeah, no, but I totally get it, right? Because, you know, the holidays also makes you feel about, well, I mean, I think it makes you reflect on tradition for a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot. And so I think oftentimes parents are kind of thinking about the traditions they used to have and, you know, why are things changing, right? They have their own reasons for why they don't want those things to change, right? And they're kind of maybe thinking, well, this is the time I could count on my children coming to visit. And now I can't even count on that, you know? So I think obviously it makes so much sense that, you know, one of them would be struggling more than the other. Mm-hmm. But I think that the holidays are also a good time to release expectations and maybe to create some new traditions. And so, you know, I mean, it's hard, you know, and maybe you want to take care of your family members' feelings. You can't do all of that. But it's also okay to say, well, maybe this is a year that we do it differently. And what are some things that we might look forward to or we might want to do and set something new up? You know, I think that it's not going to be easy, but it's also important to kind of grieve maybe a loss of a certain type of tradition that you expected, and then in its place, think about another tradition that might make you feel joy and make you feel like it's meaningful.
I am no licensed clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, but I'll tell you this as the parent of a 28-year-old, and I'll tell you this too, young Judy Ho, that when that young man gets to be 28, he's going to have his own life. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go back and think, well, wait a minute. What was I like when I was 28? Did I really want to go out and hang out with the old man and the old lady, or did I want to do my own thing, right?
Good point. Mm-hmm. I want to hang out with my parents out a lot more now in my 40s than I did when I was in my 20s.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
So it always comes back around,
that's
Tommy.
Exactly.
It'll come around.
That's the point I'm trying to make with everybody. Somebody texted in. I don't want to get in a political jaunt here or anything, but somebody texted in about handling the stress, not because we talked about that yesterday with the manners guy in etiquette about conversations about politics and everything else, but just about people that are upset about the election, handling that stress. And I'm not saying that President Trump is bad, but there are some people that are upset. And just for people that are struggling with that, what would you tell them?
Well, I think that the feelings that people have had about this election are some of the strongest feelings that we've had about any election. So Like you said, you know, there are some people who are very unhappy with the choice, and they can't move forward. Of course, why should they? It's only been a couple weeks, and also it's happening in present time, right? This is not something where people are like, hey, get over it. That was 20 years ago. It's like, oh, no, this is actually happening, and he's going to be president, and some people are very upset by that. Or there are going to be some people who say, you know what? He might not be the best candidate, but I'm so sick of my family members talking smack about him. So it's obviously going to come up during the holidays, especially when you get together. It's kind of hard to avoid. And I think that for everybody's peace and happiness, there's no reason to try to have these conversations during holiday get-togethers. And if you're the host, you can do something about that much more proactively. You can say, hey, let's keep politics off the table just for today. I think that's a perfectly reasonable request of your guests. That doesn't mean that you're avoiding it. That doesn't mean that you're avoiding the elephant in the room. It's just like, look, we're probably not going to convince each other to think differently. And if this is going to rob us of our time together, you know, time is finite. We don't have just extended amounts of time. You never know when it's going to be the last time you get to see somebody or spend time with them. So I think we have to really just cherish that for what it is. And if your relationship with this person is more important than you being right about politics or trying to convince them otherwise, which you're not, most people, they're very ingrained for them. They're not going to change either. Then think about the reasons why that relationship is worth preserving and just put your pride aside and find something else to talk about.
Which brings us to the way I wanted to wrap this up, which is you can't just tell somebody, look, be grateful for what you have, because that doesn't address what issues they have. However,
right,
we do, as individuals, can take a second to just think about everything that is on the positive side, right?
Exactly. I mean, practicing gratitude is important, right? And people sometimes are like, well, you know, that makes me feel like I'm just practicing toxic positivity. And that's not true. You know, it's not about saying that nothing bad is happening in your life, but it's about just appreciating the things that are going well, you know? That's really important for your mindset. It's also important because it helps you to be more kind towards other people, more empathetic. And that only radiates good things. You know, if you're able to have empathy for other people, it makes you feel a lot more at peace about something that you're in conflict about. And secondly, people feel that empathy from you, and they're going to appreciate that. And that's going to be something that they perhaps pay it forward. But at the very least, you've made a positive impact in another human being's life also.
Dr. Judy, thank you so much. Have a lovely Thanksgiving, you and your family, and just take it easy on yourself with the hostess duties. If I were you, given your level of success, I'd cater the entire thing. Just have it all catered to him and bring it in. You just be the charming host. You be the charming hostess that you are. That's all you got to do. Let somebody else do the catering, all right?
There we go. Thanks, Tommy. Happy Thanksgiving.
You
talk
too.
To you in a couple weeks.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, 9:54, 6 till 10, taking a break. We'll find out what Newell's got planned for us on the other side here on WWL.